time now to end stay off. I'll review of the Sunday school lesson for this the 8th day of August in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ 2010. We did not review the lesson on that Sunday because I was called away, and we did not review the lesson Sunday before us because I was called away. I may be called away next Sunday, I'm not sure, but we will return to the review of the Sunday school lesson on Sunday mornings. Now we follow the textbook outline of the Evangelical Sunday School Lesson Commentary. We follow the textbook outline of the Evangelical Sunday School Lesson Commentary. The current volume is 2009-2010, but this volume ends with the church year. This volume ends with the church year, which means that it ends this month. And next month, there will be a totally new volume. The 2009 volume of the Evangelical Sunday School Lesson Commentary ends with the church year, meaning that this month is the final month and we will need a new textbook for next month. You can order the Evangelical Sunday School Lesson Commentary from Pathway Press of Cleveland, Tennessee. Pathway Press of Cleveland, Tennessee. You may call them 1-800-553-8506. 1-800-553-8506. You can order it from us, but we can't sell it to you for what they will sell it to you for. If you want to write to us, you need to send us $25. They won't charge you $25. They will charge you less. So you may want to call them at 1-800-553-8506. Pathway Press of Cleveland, Tennessee. Evangelical Sunday School Lesson Commentary. The book goes out this month of the church year, so we'll need a new book for next month. Now, the lesson for August 8, 2010, they call it Consequences of Sin. Consequences of Sin. We will read their scripture outline, but we will not read their commentary. We will follow their scripture outline, but we will not follow their commentary. Their scriptures are quite numerous for today, and you know how it normally takes me 2 hours or more to go through this summary. I'll see how the Holy Spirit leads today. But they have scriptures from Genesis chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 2, from Genesis chapter 3 again, from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Luke chapter 16, Matthew chapter 25, and Revelation chapter 21. So quite a bit of traveling in the Bible. I encourage you to get the Bible. Get your Bible. I will be reading from the King James Bible. I know that many of your pastors have kind of pushed the King James Bible away. I know that the King James Bible is no longer used in many churches, and you have some other edition. I understand that the King James Bible is Elizabethan in tone, in construction, but it is one of the greatest works in the English language. Actually, it is the greatest work. And not only that, those of you who are seminary professors, those of you who are in the ministry, those of you who have been to Bible school and seminaries, those of you who have terminal degrees in religion, you know from your study that the King James Bible is a stellar example of peer review. In academia, they hold peer review in high regard. Anytime someone who has a terminal degree, and not only a terminal degree, anybody writes anything, one of the telling IDs of that writing is whether or not it has been peer review. And so academia relies on peer review for quality. Well, if you know the history of the King James Bible, it is the epitome. It is the epitome of peer review. Go back and read the history and see what occurred when they were putting together the King James Bible. So I use the King James Version for that reason, but for many others. And so if you're to read word for word with me, you will need to get a King James Bible. Or if you use other versions, then some words I say will not be in your Bible. And there are some things that we think are problematic in some of the Bibles that are not King James. Some of the other versions, some of the other versions, V-E-S-I-N-S, do not identify Mary, the mother of Jesus, as a virgin. They identify her as a young maiden. Well, it's different being a young maiden and getting pregnant and being a virgin and getting pregnant. If you are a virgin and get pregnant, that's a miracle. You can be a young maiden and get pregnant. That's not a miracle. Some of the versions have taken out the word propitiation. Propitiation is a critical word in the work, in telling us the work that Jesus did, the offering of a gift to remove wrath, to remove anger. Propitiation has been taken out of some of the other versions. And there are some other things that have been taken out to make it appear, and I will not accuse those who did it, but it appears that some of them might question the divinity of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So many of us use the King James Bible. We use the King James Version because it maintains that authenticity that we find in the autographs, that we find in the original scriptures. The King James is very true to the original scriptures. So I will read from the King James Version. We've already prayed, but let's pray again. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord Jesus, in thy own name, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be with us in this ministry, for they need this ministry in the United States of America. They need this ministry in Canada. They need this ministry in Mexico. They need this ministry in the Caribbean. They need this ministry in those areas covered by Glory Star Channel 1011. Oh, Holy Spirit, be in this ministry. Minister to the glory of God. Minister to the glory of God. Minister to the glory of God. In the name of Jesus, reach out and touch somebody's heart. Save, sanctify, fill with the Holy Ghost, in the name of God the Father, in the name of God the Son, in the name of God the blessed Holy Ghost, with specificity, in the matchless, marvelous name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene. Amen, amen, amen. Now, my friends, we're going to read the verses. Now we're going to go to Genesis. Now some of you call yourselves Christian, but you don't know what kind of world you're living in. And I'm not criticizing you, but you've been taken in by this world system. Well, before we go to Genesis, let me tell you, if you don't know it, those who call themselves intellectual, many of them, those who are in academia, many of them, and even some of those in the church, pay no attention to the Word of God as it is put forth in Genesis. Many, many scientists are set on destroying the accounts of creation as they are given in Genesis. And you must understand, You must understand that if you do not understand this, you will be frustrated. You must understand that they think that we are idiots. They think we are weaklings. They think that we are imbeciles. They think that we are little people who have no knowledge at all, but have just gotten a little bit of information, and we have drunk it down, and we are holding on to it. They do not believe the Bible. They, with specificity, do not believe the account of creation. They, with specificity, have decided that they will do everything they can to destroy the account of creation as it is contained in the Bible. If you don't believe it, go to the internet and Google creation. Go to the internet and Google ID, which means intelligent design, and see the many, many scientists who have written articles and books that totally reject anything that Genesis says about creation. I was reading one last week, and the man said, I'm wrong, not even right on this subject. It's beneath me. But he said, there are so many of those so-called idiots. He didn't say so-called, but he put us in the case, in the class of idiots. So many of those idiots who are emotionally putting forth this dribble that I'm going to write about it too. And he went on to trash everything the Bible says about creation. And went on to list a whole litany of books that have been written to prove that he's right. And so you must understand, if you are on earth in the 21st century, these people have zero faith in this account of creation. The news media, for the most part, have zero faith when they begin to quote news and science and use evolution as their basis. They are saying, forget Genesis, forget the Bible. It is not true. That is what they're saying. You need to understand what kind of world you are in. These people who think themselves the cream of the crop and the intellectual giants of the world have decided that the Bible must be destroyed, and with specificity that the account of creation as given in the Bible must be destroyed. And even ID, intelligent design, in some way, that in many ways actually does not do justice to the account of creation. So when you read the Word of God, understand what's in the mind and minds of those ungodly people. And you will say, well, they go to my church, they go to your church, but they don't believe the Holy Bible. You say they preach in my church, they preach in your church, but they don't believe the Holy Bible. You need to wake up and understand the world we're in. They think we are idiots. Read. Go and Google creation. Go and Google ID. Go and Google evolution. It is clear they are just waiting for us to die so that they can put forth without opposition in their minds what they have decided the world must embrace. They have decided that the world must embrace diversity, that it must embrace multiplicity of religions, that it must embrace evolution, that it must embrace Darwinism, and they are just waiting for us to die so they can have full access to all the minds without our, what they see as our new opposition. So don't be an idiot. Don't be foolish. Understand that these people who are the movers and shakers of the world today, most of them have no respect for what we are doing and what we're saying. So I'm going to read Genesis chapter 3. But just keep in mind that most people you know don't believe it. Most of your children who've been to college do not believe it. Most of the professionals in your city, in your state, do not believe it. Most of the scientists do not believe it because they have been taught evolution. And evolution has taken the day. So don't be unwise, my friend. When they look at you like you are an idiot, that's what they are thinking. They are thinking that you are an idiot. And not only are they thinking it, they are sure of it in their minds. They are absolutely sure because they feel that they have empirical evidence. They feel that they have scientific evidence that proves that we are idiots. So you have a choice. You can go with them, or you can go with him. You can go with them, or you can go with him. You have a choice. You can go with them, or you can go with him. Let's go now to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, you know I love reading healthy portions of the Word of God. If you got to go, then you got to go. If you can stay, you can stay. Those who stay will be blessed. But if you can't sit for the food that I serve, that's your problem. But I'm going to serve it anyway. I dig wells. I don't make you drink, but I guarantee if you come by my vision and you thirst to death, spiritually it's your fault. I serve healthy banquets of the Word of God. You don't have to dine, but I guarantee if you starve to death in the region of my ministry, it is your fault. Because I'm going to serve up regardless of what the devil says, regardless of what the government says, I will serve healthy servants and healthy feasts of the unmitigated, of the unwatered down Word of God, of the authentic Word of Almighty God. If you want to sit by the feast and starve, that's your business. If you want to sit by the wells of water that I dig with the Word of God and thirst to death, that's your business. But I dig wells, spiritual wells. I serve up great spiritual banquets. I'm not bragging, but I want you to understand that you do not have to starve spiritually. Not if you're getting life to God our feet over Galaxy 19 or over our Glorious Star Channel 1011. You do not have to starve in the USA. You do not have to starve in Canada. You do not have to starve in Mexico. You do not have to starve in the Caribbean. If you are getting right to God our feet, you do not have to starve spiritually. You don't have to perish from not having water if you get light to guide our feet. Oh yeah, I'm simple. I like to rub it in. I'm redundant because if you end up in hell, my simplicity will testify against you. Yes, I'm redundant, but if you end up in hell, my redundancy will testify against you. And you don't believe in hell, many of you. But you see, Jesus said that the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. So if you don't believe there's a hell, you are calling Jesus Christ a liar. If you don't believe there's a hell, you are calling Jesus Christ a liar, because Jesus said, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. And Jesus said that he asked Abraham to send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and then come and touch that man who's in hell's tongue. Can you imagine being in a place in so much excruciating heat, torment, and pain that you imagine that if someone just dipped the tip of their finger in water and touched your tormented tongue, that you would get so much relief just from the water on the tip of that finger. He said, send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and touch my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. That's what Jesus Christ said, that the man in hell said. So if you don't believe it, you are calling Jesus a liar. I will not call Jesus Christ a liar. I will not call Jesus Christ a liar. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Beginning reading now at verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins, and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden, to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 24. Well, empirically, there are many who would say this has to be an allegory. This has to be one of those stories that they were famous for making up 4,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, for there are many allegories, there are many stories. And so it is so easy for people who study history to say this is just one more of those. And to ask, why would those foolish Christians believe and stake their lives on this allegory? That's what they think. And in their minds, they know. They have convinced themselves that they are right, that they are empirical, that they are scientific, and that we are absolute idiots. But God has put forth this account of the fall of man. God made man in his own image. He made woman, having taken a rib from man, and he gave the woman to the man. God gave commandments, for they were in a perfect place. There was no death. Man was not made for death. Man was not meant to die. And all men, all they had to do was to just obey God. There were many trees in the garden, and God told them, you may eat of the trees of the garden. You see, we want the forbidden fruit. No matter what God gives us, we want the forbidden fruit. Thus we read in the book of Proverbs that the woman whose husband, with a woman who is a no good woman, her husband has gone away, and she brings in another man, and she says, my husband has gone on a long trip. Come on in to me. And she says, stolen what? Stolen water, stolen fruit, stolen water is a sweet. Stolen water is a sweet. Stolen, stolen, stolen. She had a husband, but her husband was gone. Many of you, some of you have done that. You've been away from your husband. You've been away on business trips. And you've engaged in stolen waters. And they were sweet. And you have this secret that you think that nobody knows but you and that man. Many of you men, when you go on business trips, they provide women for you. They have what's called escort services. Escort services make a living on providing women for businessmen. You have stolen waters. They're sweet. You have that. You think you've gotten away. You think nobody knows but you and that woman. And there are some pretty women out there. There are some sweet women out there. There are women you can give you a night like you never had before, but they are stolen. And in the book of Proverbs, it says that she leads to hell. She leads to death. She leads to hell. That man with whom you are sharing stolen waters leads to death, leads to hell. Eve was walking with the devil, and the devil begins to seduce her. And he says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle. You see, whenever somebody leads you against the word of God, that's subtlety. They are tricking you. They are deceiving you. So Satan says, and the Bible says that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. God had made him, but he was subtle. And he said to the woman, yea, has God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? Now let's read it again. Yea, has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now Satan knew that God had told them that they could eat of every other tree except the specific tree that he said don't eat of. So here he sets her up. He uses the word every. In other words, I want everything I see. Some of you men want every woman you see. You have a wife at home, but you want every woman you see. Some of you women, you want every man you see. Because you become subtle. Because Satan has put that in you. Anytime you want everything you see. And you want everything you want. I know people like that. Once they want it, I want that. And they're going to find a way to get it. That's the devil in hell. That's the devil in hell. Whenever you're with somebody who wants everything they see or who wants everything they want, that's the devil in hell. Satan said to Eve, yea, as God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And this is what the woman said. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Now God had told them, you all may eat of the trees. T-R-E-E-S. The woman testifies that God has said that they may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. And there must have been many fruits and many kinds of trees. Because we see the trees, the garden again in the book of Revelation. It was a wonderful, perfect garden. And God said, you all may eat of the trees, the fruit of the trees. And that's what Eve tells Satan. Listen again now. Here's what Eve said. This is Genesis chapter 3, verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now the woman knew perfectly what God had said. How do we know that? Because she told Satan exactly what God had said with specificity and in fullness. Eve said out of her own mouth that the Lord said, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Eve knew that perfectly. And those of you who go out there, you men, and you see another woman, you know, particularly those who've been to church, that God says there will be no adulterers in heaven. So you mess around with all these women, and yeah, they're good, sex is good, and men love sex. You end up with this adultery and you going to hell. I know your pastors have told you that once you're saved, you're always saved, that Jesus has paid the price for your sin, and you cannot go to hell. But if you sin against God, he will send you to hell. And your pastors who lie to you will be in hell with you. Jesus said in hell, he lifted up his eyes. The rich man lifted up his eyes. He knew full well, for she recited with specificity and the penalty also what God had said. Listen once again. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. That is one tree. Now God said all the trees eat. But the tree which is in the midst of the garden, don't eat of it, don't touch it, If you do, you will die. And Eve said that God even used the term surely. You will surely die. So let's read this once again. Genesis chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Get your Bibles. You need to read this. Some of you have been slipping and sliding. You've been committing adultery. Because that's the thing now. Get all you can get. That's what's popular now. And then you talk to your friends about it. And your girlfriend asks you, how was it? Oh, he was good, honey. Oh, he wasn't that good. Oh, he was nothing to write home about. And each of you know you're married. Your friend knows you're married. But you have no regard for the Word of God. Get your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Eve, out of her own mouth, convicts herself, her husband, and all of mankind. She knew exactly what God had said. Now Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The devil always has a reason why you should do what God says don't do. The devil has a reason. Many of you women who got pregnant, it's the devil who got you pregnant because the devil in that man told you, honey, you're not going to get pregnant. Or the devil in science told you that if you use the rhythm method, you won't get pregnant. And so you engage, and then the next month, you skip your cycle, and you began to get scared, and you found out that it was a lie because the rhythm method didn't work. And you shouldn't be using any method if you are not married. All sex out of wedlock is sin. But this ungodly nation doesn't believe it. So they taught you, do what you want to do. And all sex, if you are married, any other sex you have is sin. That is adultery. Sex out of wedlock is fornication. Sex in wedlock, when you have a living husband or living wife, that is adultery. And there will be no adulterers in heaven, but you don't believe me because you're on the way to heaven anyhow. So hop up there and see what happens. In hell, you will lift up your eyes. But Satan said, and we see here in verse number 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. But God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. I know women who tell women who are married, oh, you go ahead and spend a night with that other man. There ain't nothing to that. Your husband ain't going up. I know women who tell other women that, child, your husband ain't taking care of you. Child, there are women who find men for married women. And there are men who find women for married men. I know of people who are in those categories. The devil is a liar. It's the devil who's telling you to do what you know you should not do. The devil is walking around in people these days. And that's why those of us who are Christians, we don't like evil. We hate evil. and I hate evil in other people. I detest the devil. I detest that ungodly spirit that works against the Spirit of God. I cannot have full fellowship. When I see the devil in somebody, I withdraw. That person is a fixture to me. They can be in my family, they can be around me, but the devil is a fixture to me. And he's a fixture to Jesus. Peter, a disciple of Jesus Christ, was standing right beside Jesus, and the devil got into Peter and spoke. And Jesus rebuked Peter, his disciple, and said, "Satan, thou art an offense unto me." Satan is offensive. And whenever somebody around me says anything that is against the word of God, it's offensive. I normally just walk away. I normally don't say anything. I normally just shut my mouth because it is an offense unto me. And I know that they're in the curses of Satan. And if I'm not in a position to do battle with Satan, I just shut my mouth. They are an offense. Whenever Satan speaks, he is an offense. Satan is an offense. Having him alone, you see, they say, don't let Satan ride, because if you let Satan ride, he's going to want to drive. Don't let Satan ride, because if you let Satan ride, he's going to want to drive. No matter which way you are going, Satan is going to want you to turn in the direction that he wants to go in. Don't let Satan ride, because if you let him ride, he's going to want to drive. But I say to you, just having Satan alone, A-L-O-N-G, just having him alone, A-L-O-G, A-L-O-N-G, makes for a bad trip. Just having Satan on board makes for a bad trip. That's why God's people don't want Satan on board. Because number one, if you let Satan ride, he's going to want to drive. But whether he's driving or not, just having him on board makes for a bad trip. That's why if those Christians don't like me, no, it's not that we don't like you. We don't like that devil who is in you. And so he is leading you. Because we let you ride, he wants you to drive, but just having you on board makes for a bad trip. Because Satan is an offense unto our Lord Jesus, for Jesus said that himself as Satan was in Peter. And Satan is an offense unto us. Satan is an offense unto us. Don't let Satan ride. If you let him ride, he's going to want to drive. And whether or not he's driving, just having him on board makes for a bad trip. Here's what Satan said. For God doth know. Well, first of all, Satan calls God a lie. You see, the people who are teaching evolution, they are calling God a lie. Anybody who calls God a lie is surely of the devil. That's what the devil does. He calls God a lie. And so in Genesis chapter 3 verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now, Eve just told Satan that God had said, ye shall not surely, no, ye shall not eat of it. This is verse 3 now. This is the last sentence in verse 3 of Genesis chapter 3. Here's what Eve said. God hath said. Now she used the word, she said, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Ye shall not surely die. I may have been mistaken. I think I may have mixed that up. I said that Eve said the word surely. But no, Eve did not use the word surely. When I look at that verse, God did not say the word surely, but Satan said it. So we have to go back and correct that. Genesis said that Eve said that God said, ye shall, lest ye die. But she did not use the word surely. Let's make sure now. Let's go back and read verses 1 through 3 and see if God used the word surely. Because in authentic Christian ministry, we want to say exactly what God says. So let's go back and read Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. This is redundancy, but it also is for authenticity. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So Eve did not use the word surely. It was Satan who used the word surely. And I was mistaken earlier in this summary when I said Eve had used the word surely, quoting God. That is not true. That was not true. That was a mistake. Eve did not use the word surely. However, if God says it, you can be sure it's true. But Eve did not use the word surely. It was Satan who used the word surely. Let's go now to verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. So Satan contradicts God. Even though God said, ye shall die, Satan is saying, you won't die for real. You won't surely die. Satan goes on to say, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Well, there was some truth to that. That's why God told them not to eat of it, because God did know that they would be in a different state of being and existence if they ate of that tree. They were in a state of total and complete innocence. No sin, no death, no labor. It appeared that would be sweat, like the curse, like the labor after the ground was cursed. It was going to be an easy paradise life that God made them to live in. All this mess we go through now came about as a result of the disobedience of Adam and Eve. This is not God's intention. Why would God let somebody die? Why would God let those children die? Why would God let this happen? Why would God let that happen? That was not God's original intention for human beings. God's original intention for human beings was perfection. Before the fall, before they disobeyed God, there was no death. Adam and Eve would have lived eternally, and their descendants would have lived eternally. There would have been no death. There would not have been all the mess we go through now. But they sinned, and they brought this upon us. So all this mess we go through now is a result of disobedience, because they reached out and they became something that God did not want them to become. But you see, sometimes becoming more brings tragedy. because you become more than God wants you to be. God knew of that state of existence, that if they ate of that tree, what would happen, but he had it there. We have choices. From the Garden of Eden, there have been choices. You have choices. You have the choice to do right or do wrong. You have the choice to obey God or obey Satan. Eve had the choice. Rather than obey God, she obeyed Satan. Satan, you see, comes with his excuses. And people will come to you with excuses saying, oh, that's not going to happen. Child, you need to enjoy yourself. You are getting old. Oh, forget that man. Forget that woman. They can't miss what they don't know. That I heard them say that. Those are the words of Satan. The devil in hell. Satan has serpents now walking on 2 feet. And they are still spreading the lies that Satan spread, the serpent spread in the garden. Oh, don't worry about this. Oh, forget that. You're going to miss our own life. You're going to miss our own life. You're going to miss our own fun. You're going to miss our own heaven. That's the devil in hell. 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 Get wise, my friends. Get wise. Where everybody else is doing it, do you know why? Because this ungodly society has put it out in movies, in magazines, in records, in videos, on TV, in sitcoms, in schools. Satan has deceived the age. This is an age that is deceived by Satan. This is the age of a people who don't know God. This is the age of a people who don't know God. They don't know God. They don't know God. And you have a choice. You can go with them or you can go with him. You can go with them or you can go with him. But that's why I'm preaching to you. Here you are being given the choice. You can go with them or you can go with him. So in my church, they say just love everybody and everything is all right. And that's a lie. Because if you love everybody and you sin against God, God will send you to hell. But that's what they're preaching. Don't make anybody feel bad. Don't offend anybody. And you can do what you want to do. And that's a lie from hell. Your pastor is lying to you. Your bishop is lying to you. Your pope is lying to you. If he tells you, you can do anything you want to do as long as you just love everybody. That's a lie from hell. That's the devil walking on 2 feet, just like he did in the Garden of Eden. I guarantee you, they don't believe the Bible. They don't believe the book of Genesis. They don't believe that fornication is a sin. They don't believe that adultery is a sin. As a matter of fact, they are marrying you into adultery. They are counseling you to leave your husband, leave your wife, and marry somebody else. And some of them are counseling you to leave your husband and marry them. That's the devil in hell. That's the devil in hell. He still has operatives. He still has agents who are walking, as it were, in the garden with the people who are supposed to be of God and telling them, go ahead and do this. God understands. He understands you are lonely, they will say. He understands you are unfulfilled. He understands you are miserable in your marriage. He understands that you deserve more. You deserve more. That's what Satan would say. You deserve more. You deserve, women will tell other women that, child, you deserve better than that. You deserve more than that. You know, many marriages are broken up by women. Ungodly women who encourage women who follow them to leave their husbands and break up their marriage. Satan is working havoc in marriages in this age through ungodly women. Satan is working havoc through marriage in this age through ungodly women. And you men, you ought to wake up. I was talking to a preacher yesterday. I was in a public place yesterday, and I was talking to one preacher. And he and I were having church, as it were. And another man walked by, and the Spirit led me to speak to him and say something to him. And he came over, and he said he was a preacher. And so then we sure enough had church. We must have had church for 4 to 5 minutes or an hour. Right there in the midst, in the public, there were people all around us, and we were having church. So then the one preacher had to go, and the other preacher and I, we kept on having church. And he told me, he said, you know, I went into a store. I believe he said it was Barnes & Noble. And he said a young man came in that store, and he had tears running down his eyes. And he said, I asked him what was wrong. And he said, he told me that he had lost his job, and that he had a family, and that he had children at home, and that he had a wife, and that he lost his job, and he couldn't pay his bills, and that his wife has put him out. Now, you know, this is popular these days. The devil's people love to hear that some wife put some guy out. Watch it, watch it. Anybody who has the spirit of Satan, when they hear that a wife has put her husband out, they are happy. Oh, they think that's big time. And so he said, and his wife put him out, and he said, he told him he was considering suicide. And the pastor said he took him over in the closet. No, come over here. Come on, let me talk to you. Let me talk to you. And he talked to him. And he talked to him. And he doesn't know what happened. But you see, that's what Satan does. I watch this society. This society is an offensive society. This society, it has been deceived by Satan. And so women are told by these ungodly women on TV and in the movies and on radio to put their husband out. Because you see, this society has become a female-dominated society. And they are leading the men around by the nose. And because the men are afraid that if they don't do what the women say, that, you see, it will break up the marriage, and it will. Or that something bad will happen. So it has come a female-dominated society. Many of the judges now are female. There are many women who do not like men. They've been taught to not like men. They've been taught to hate men. There are many sitcoms and many movies that denigrate men, that denigrate the father, that denigrate the man in the house and project the woman as a leader, which is a lie from hell and which is the epitome of Satan's operation in the family. The epitome of Satan's operation in the family is a woman leading her husband around by the nose. And it may not be happening in Canada. It may not be happening in Mexico. It may not be happening in the Caribbean. But I tell you, in the United States of America, these people who call themselves men are being led around by the nose by the women who they call their wives. And you might get mad, but like I told you, I don't take any prisoners. I shoot for the heart with the word of God. You are being led around by the nose. And you have this saying, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Well, the devil is a lie. And he's a liar. Talking about if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. The devil is a liar. He's a lie. If God ain't happy, then ain't nobody happy in my house. If mama ain't happy, the children ain't happy. That's devil and red wedding. But in my house, if God ain't happy now, they don't do what I tell them to do. My wife does whatever she wants to do. She doesn't go to church with me. She doesn't go to my church, but she's going to do her own thing. But I'm going to do what God says do. She's not going to lead me around by the nose, but many of you men are being led around by the nose. And and it is against the will of Almighty God. And be careful what you do, because if you rise up now, after you've ceded your manhood to your wife, after she's taken over the leadership in your household, and your manhood has been ceded to her, if you rise up now, they're going to put you in jail. So you are in a dilemma. You are in a dilemma because they are just waiting for you to rise up and be a man, and they're going to put your big bad self in jail. So you need to get on your knees and pray and ask God to show you what to do. Don't go out and grab her. She's going to call the police. She's just waiting for that. If I grab my wife, the next thing she'll do is call the police. I know that. Don't go grab your wife. Yeah, you're supposed to be a man, but you done lost your manhood. She has your manhood, so you get on your knees and pray. Or just shut your mouth and follow God. Because they are waiting to put you in jail. They will put you in jail. That is the reality in the United States of America. I don't care how long you've been married to her, you grab her and see if the sheriff or the police don't show up at your door. Why? Because that's what the demons on television and the demons in the movies and the demons who are supposed to be for women have taught them. They have taught them, if he touch you, you call the police. That's what they've been taught. That's what they taught my wife. That's what they taught my daughter. That's what they taught the women around us. And so in America, you are in a predicament and you are in a dilemma because the devil in hell has come in and dethroned you from your manly position. Well, we ought to be equal. Well, we are as equal as the sun and the moon. What are you talking about, brethren? When Joseph had his dream, and Joseph told his dream, and he said that the sheaves of the sun, the stars, and the moon worship him. Worship his. You see, the Bible in that scenario, in that true story, when Joseph had his dream, he saw the sun, the moon, and the stars. And the Bible tells us that in that scenario, the sun represented his father. The moon represented his mother. And the stars represented his brethren. And so according to the Bible, the man of the house is the sun, S-U-N of the house. The woman of the house is the moon, and the children are the stars. That is Bible. That is Bible. Even God told Adam that he told Eve that her husband would rule over her. I told you these ungodly people today do not believe the Bible. And so they set up their own system. They taught our wives, our brothers, our mothers now, they taught them their way. In other words, they taught them to forget God. They taught them to forget God. They taught them to trash the Bible and to come do it their way. And you have a choice. You can follow them or you can follow him. You can follow them or you can follow him. You have a choice. You can follow them or you can follow him. If you are the man of your house, you have the position in that family as the S-U-N. Your wife has the position as the moon. And your children have the position as the stars. That's what the Bible teaches us. But this ungodly generation cares nothing for the Bible. They don't believe in God. To them, that's foolishness. Foolishness. And if you repeat what I said, they will look at you as if you're foolish. And so you have a choice. You can choose to follow them, or you can choose to follow him. Well, my friends, there's much more we should talk about, but I think you get the importance of understanding what Satan does and how Satan is. Sin caused great destruction in the human family. Adam and Eve sinned, as you read here. God then came and gave his judgments. God will always judge sin. The wages of sin is death. What is sin? Sin is rebellion against God. Whatever you do to rebel against the word of God, that is sin. That's why some of you say, well, y'all try to be so holy. It don't take all that. It doesn't take all that to be a Christian. If you want to obey God, it does, because any and all rebellion against God is sin. S-I-N. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, this is Pastor Clarence William Page of Trinity Baptist Church. This has been the review of the Sunday school lesson for this, the 8th day of August, in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2010. May the Lord bless you. May heaven smile upon you in Jesus' name.